fighting for America.
Please join me now in showing appreciation for their work, their legacy, and their friendship. That's sufficient. I don't want you to get more applause than I got.
Fighting for Idaho.
As someone growing up in the Middle East, you know that if you say the smallest thing against Muhammad, or if you say, I don't believe in this, you will be killed.
Fighting for you.
My wife delivered twins, so it's just been hectic.
Are you changing the diapers yet?
Oh, yeah, I've done that from day one. No big deal.
All right. Wow.
That's what real men do, Kevin.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller with you. Thank you all for joining us. Phone number is 580-5436. Joining us now is Bill Glenn. He's the co-founder of the USA Association, which is a conservative premier members benefit organization for all ages, and that talk about investments in the economy. And Mr. Glenn, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Good to have you with us. So everybody wants to make money. Is it still possible to make money in America these days?
Depending on how much you want to make, right? If you want a job these days, you get a part-time job, and it's included in the job numbers. Although you're making $100,000 last year, now you're probably making 60 or 80 because you got laid off, and now underemployment is rampant in the country. And so, boy,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but how can unemployment be up in the country when the unemployment rate's at historic levels?
Yeah, there's a lot. Listen, as you know, the fundamentals do not support where the stock market is at all. It's one of the big bubbles that I see. And two, underemployment, one. Two, the lost generation that never were included in the unemployment numbers, like all those college grads over the last 10 years. I mean, they're starting families later. They're building the career ladder later. I mean, we've got a stall coming up in even the next generation. And on Earth, did you know that there's about 3 billion people that want a job, and there's 1.3 billion jobs out there? Imagine that, 1.7 billion people without hope that will never have a real job. That's a big problem.
Well, and so if they pulled the wool over the press, I mean, where's the coverage of this? I totally agree with you on this issue. I think that's one of the great travesties, that we don't have an accurate jobs report, and then you have people, sir, that are working two or three jobs still not making what they made 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, what would be interesting is where credit card debt was and where it is now. I mean, you have pretty much a flat, retail season in general. And then last year, numbers aren't all that fantastic. But I would love to see what the credit card debt has done in the last couple of years, because I think people are milking their credit cards just to, keep above water. And these underemployed, man, how much disposable income have they lost, coming into our economy?
You think it's gotten back to the days where people were, going back to the credit card, the movement of paying things off is over?
Well, we're not a savings nation. Like, Japan is a savings nation. We're reactionary to global events, obviously. We're reactionary, and until we hit a wall on our debt, we won't react properly without the political courage. We're reactionary to the point where we over-leverage ourselves and drain our bank accounts, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, my gosh. But at the same time, people are clawing and scraping. I don't know anybody, and I can't believe who they're interviewing. I don't know one person who thinks things are better right now. I don't know one, and I know a lot of people. There's just not one. They think the stock market's good, but smarty pants is out there. They know that this is a place where the stock market absolutely should not be, given all the things going on around the world too. By the way, think of the chaos that is lurking out there. We don't even think of what if someone came in and started gatting down people in a mall? How would that hurt retail? Right? I mean, these guys are smart. We underestimate our enemy. I mean, it will hit our shores.
Well,
it's just a matter of when.
Right. And before we get to that, let me ask you a question. When we talk about our economy, how in the world can we look at the stock market blowing up and doing historically well, and yet the unemployment is where it's at, and we have the Fed printing funny money, and it's almost as if we shouldn't worry about debt. Now, tell that to Chase, MasterCard, or Discover, and they'll haul you to the hooscow.
Yeah, I tell you what. The full faith of the United States government, and as you know, faith in the debt obligations that contained mortgages, right, that nearly froze 3 hours away from a global economic meltdown, when, not if, when the world, who owns about half our debt, the rest of it we own interagency, by the way, and which means that Rick Perry was right, Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. And what happens if Russia or someone starts unloading our debt? It would be like, you know, A Wonderful Life, the Bailey Bank and Trust, and there's no one with another bag full of money to bail us out at the end. You know, it's a confidence game. Confidence has been lost in our political courage. Here's what I always say. We're bankrupt, right? Politically, morally, socially, and economically, period. And our country's in decay. We're in apathy here. And here I am, 46 years old, and I'm mortified. And when I look around me and think, this is the country I live in. What happened? What happened to 20 years ago? Oh my! I wake up and I'm thinking, I gotta get off Fox News. I'm a junkie, and I literally have to go through withdrawal because I get so pissed off watching that stuff.
Well, no, I'm with you. I'm a talk show host, and you and I, sir, are the same age. And you take a look at where America was when we were in our 20s, and we look at the 20-somethings today with not the same opportunities that we've had, and you wonder what it's going to be like 20 years for us when our generation, you know, looks at Social Security and probably won't be there.
Well, here's my opinion. So if you remember Herman Cain, you know, like I said, my neighbor, going out with 999, right?
Yeah.
So 999. And I said, you know what? 000. Think of the revolution in America. If we had one national sales tax, everyone pays. I don't care if you're an immigrant, you know, earned benefits, unearned benefits, everyone pays. Our tax coffers would swell. More disposable income, more things buy. Now, we don't have capital gains, corporate or personal income tax. We just have a national sales tax. Do you think these companies would outsource jobs? How many trillions of dollars would pour into our economy because we're the most tax-advantaged nation on earth? Oh, my, that would be a revolution in the history of America. And if we don't do something utterly massive to change our course, where we do not have the political courage to do so, we are going to hit a brick wall. I'm surprised we haven't hit a pretty substantial brick wall already, but it's imminent because they won't change the way our country works. Torrid.
Well, what's the impact when we hit the brick wall on folks in Idaho?
Oh, gosh. I mean, as beautiful as I was put in a headlock outside of your train station out there by some of my partners that are in your community. And I think Idaho is a little bit different because Idaho is far more conservative than, let's say, the rest of the nation. But I don't know who's going to bail us out, right? I don't know what's going to happen. I think that it will have a global economic issue. Now, I'm on a council with 4-star generals and, you know, former heads of nations and current ones. And the goal of that council is global economic security. We're number one in the world in cybersecurity, right? And something goes wrong. I don't know if it's ISIS, you know, terrorism. It could be, you know, war, lack of potable water, large-scale cyber attacks. The net of it is there's so much that's delicate today that web that we've woven around the world, any little thing like Greece, an infinitesimal economy, can cause havoc, you know, across the world. We have withdrawn our leadership on Earth from the rest of the world, and look what's happened. Without the foresight that, without our leadership, we invite global economic and otherwise militaristic issues here, right at home, and no one gets it. That's horrid, too.
No, I'm with you. And, you know, so how do you explain what's happening in Russia? Many people think that we've colluded with the Saudis and everyone else to bankrupt Russia again. Could that happen to us? And do you go along with that's why gas prices are so historically low?
Well, two things there. One, gas prices will not remain low. They conditioned us to, you know, accept $3+ gas. So they're not going to try to recondition the consumer at $2 gas. Trust me on this, gas prices will go up. Russia, they're hurting. But remember, they've got a captive audience for their energy in Europe. So they're not out of the game by any stretch, right? And they're hurting. It's hurting certain people, but their economy is touching along. They're much more resilient than we think. And Putin, well, he's a leader. You know, he's got, you know what, kahunas. And he wants to. He remembers when we kicked them when they were down before, and we did kick them. Now they're up because of the oil and whatnot. And you know what? The U.S. will be, regardless of what anyone thinks, the largest exporter of energy in the next 10, 12 years. So I don't, you know, if Russia, though, think of this, global economic war. If Russia unloaded our debt and said, screw it, you guys are boycotting me, I'm going to start selling your debt off. Now, therein is our Achilles heel, right? That is our biggest national defense issue, our indebtedness. And they don't have to fire a bullet. All they have to do is just say, I don't have any faith in the U.S. Imagine that, what that would do around the world.
What about the Chinese, then? If the Russians own us, certainly the Chinese are ahead of them.
Oh, yeah, they are. But put Japan and Brazil way up there, too. They own a ton of our debt. But, again, most of the debt, more than 50% of the debt, is owned interagency. That means you and I and the American people own our own debt, right? So it's using our money and giving us IOUs. Same with the rest of the world. Now, we believe the world is so interwoven that these countries won't go after their own currency exchanges, and they won't go after their own currency reserves, and that they won't go after their own, you know, their own economies and just unload some U.S. debt. That's imminent. And that's when we hit a wall, because then we can't even, as you know, finance our own government, because we can't without borrowing more money. It's sickening.
Well, we're just full of good news today. We'll talk about solutions coming up.
580 KIDO and MCA Nashville want to send you to the Daytona 500. Details soon on 580 KIDO.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Bill Glynn with us, author, best-selling book, Left on Red. Let's go to the phones. We go to Patriot Ray. Good morning. You're on 580 KIDO. Hello, sir.
Good morning. Good morning, Bill. It's glad to hear you on the radio.
Thank you.
Absolutely right. As soon as the gas prices went down and you get more and more talk about, okay, we're going to raise tax on gas now. Our local legislators talking that already. And when they come into session, this is going to be a main deal for them because they want more money to help with the roads and everything else they say. But yet they're not doing anything else to help to save money. It seems like every time Congress, local or federal, get an opportunity to raise something, they absolutely do it as soon as they can. So we just need to be vigilant and keep on top of it and let our legislators know we're not satisfied with that. But we appreciate what you're saying and how it's going about what you're saying.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
All right, Patriot Roy, we appreciate that. Let's go to Terry in State College, Pennsylvania at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Bill. Thank you for being on Kevin's
show. Good morning.
Thank you very much. It's a great morning to hear Kevin. It is every morning. Bill, I have a question for you. About 4 months ago, I was listening to Dr. Jim Willis, and he was talking about the oil industry. He made a comment that the main well in Saudi Arabia is pumping 65% water, and I thought, well, that's very odd. Then about a month ago, I had learned that the CIA station chief in Riyadh gave a well-concocted pile of BS to the Saudis, and they started pumping salt water in their main well, which brought the oil up much, much easier for them. And the problem, so that's one of the reasons for the oil glut. And at that point, they cannot stop pumping that oil because the water will, in fact, contaminate the oil. Do you know of any of this?
Well, the now the world market may get some oil from the Saudis and the Middle East. Here at home, we only get 12% of our oil from the Middle East, 22% from Sub-Saharan Africa, and mostly 60% from, you know, ourselves in Canada. So, you know, from the misconception, A, about that, and two, you know, the glut. I mean, you've got, you know, black market oil coming out of ISIS, and you've got Russia trying to pump out some cheap oil because they have to. That's the kind of glut, really. Saudi can't put enough oil on the market to cause the rates to go down so much. But, you know, this OPEC can artificially inflate the barrels of oil, as we've all seen in the past. So, I mean, I'm just saying that it's consumer focus. They won't allow us to get used to low gas prices when they've already allowed us to get used to high gas prices. I mean, that's business for them. I just see this going up pretty aggressively here shortly.
Well, of course, and, you know, when you consider the fact how high ideal for our politicians, oh, great, now they can afford a gas tax, a road use tax. How many taxes can they pile on top of this? And then, of course, we, the consumer, are going to be at the far end when the gas prices do go ballistic with these additional taxes. Hey, welcome to America, I guess. Bill, thank you for being on. We appreciate your insight. Kevin, thank you very much. You have a good day.
All right, Terry. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for the call. We go to Pro-Life at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Hello. Yeah, this is one of the better guests you've had. And
Thanks for the review and comment.
Anyway, Bill, do you think the world central bankers are trying to put us into a world currency?
Not yet. I think eventually, as you saw Russia and China and others make a move to replace the U.S. currency as the standard, I think that the world has already lost confidence in the full faith. You know, Timothy Geithner went to China on some trip a couple years ago, and he said, oh, the full faith of the United States government. They heckled him. And so people have already lost confidence in our political courage and our ability to pay the debt that we already have. It's just a matter of time before that all comes home to roost. And I think there's plans behind the scenes for certain. And, you know, the liberal progressive agenda here, dismantling our capitalist society, is just going to further that cause, speed it up. I just know we're a reactionary economy. We won't do something massive enough until we hit that wall. Do I think these guys are, you know, collaborating behind the scenes on something like that? Absolutely, I think they are. Can they implement it? I don't know. That would take a long time and a lot of brain damage to do.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Great call there, Pro-Life. And we go to TPP, Tea Party Bob from the Jump State Patriot, with our friend Bill Glynn. Good morning, Tea Party Bob.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Just a quick question. Something I've been working on is the petroleum industry added about $400 billion to our economy in the past few years. And this had to do with a lot of the exploration and a lot of the new gas and oil that's been found. But what's going to happen when they start laying all these people off, they start turning all these wells off, we're going to see a very big turnaround, as you've been talking about, in our prices of our gasoline, because these prices are not going to stay low for a long time. My guess is maybe 9 to 12 months. What do you think about that?
I would say sooner than that. The last thing they want us to do is get used to these new gas levels. I mean, that's just from the economic perspective. You know, I think, you know, think of the hand of God, right, being wielded upon America with, once again, you know, a glove say that if we could become the world's largest exporter of natural resources, natural gas and oil, that would be, again, something that should revolutionize our debt position and whatnot, although I don't think these guys can get out of their own way. But ultimately, even if the United States is fracking and even if the United States is extracting, you know, it is more expensive to do it that way. Technology will find a way to cheapen the cost. I think overall that, you know, in the United States, I think we could see a revolution, and I think we could see a massive influx of jobs, actually just maybe the opposite. But I don't think that we've got the courage in D.C., and I don't think we have the political will to do the right things. I think we're, you know, I am so frustrated. I have to actually get off Fox News sometimes because I am a junkie and I get so aggravated. My wife's going to throw me out of my house. So
you're better than me. You just get aggravated. I'm starting to throw my slippers.
Oh, well, listen, get a bag of foam bricks. It's beautiful. It helps you out.
Thank you for your comments. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
All right, TPB, we appreciate it. Bill, anything else that you'd like to share with us, what we should be looking out for?
Well, you know, there's so much out there. I'd be looking out if on the positive side at defense stocks and also at stocks that specialize in, you know, security for networks. I believe there's going to be $1 trillion or more pouring into that particular space, right? Because cyber warfare is the new Y2K, right? Now it's way up on the radar screen. And, you know, like I serve in a council, we're number one. I've got 4-star generals in the world in cybersecurity. So we know global economic security is a massive issue. Stock market shouldn't be there. That's a bubble, you know, so watch out for that. You know, some interesting things that I'm involved with are these toxic titans. Do you remember? I mean, in our lifetime, we saw the tobacco industry. Remember that when they got sued and they from people who got cancer,
right,
that were warned smoke? They got sued for like $10 billion. I mean, you know, for $900 billion, and they lost. And a widow just won like hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, because her husband smoked. He was warned, and she sued Philip Morris. So here's what's going to happen. With all the chemicals that these companies have slipped into our consumer products, you know, both products companies and chemicals, go home tonight and, you know, take the toxictest.com. Just go there and look at the chemicals in your products. Watch out for the chemical industry and watch out for the products companies, because people are really upset right now to have found all this stuff in the products in their home every day. That is going to cause an upswell. Boy, these guys. Yeah, I think that's another industry that's going to get a huge wave of lawsuits put up against it. So watch those stocks for sure.
Well, Bill, we appreciate it. You have a good day, and we'll have you back.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And as you heard from Maggie O'Mara from Channel 7 moments ago, the post-fall folks have figured out that they did something wrong, the police did, when they arrested and rearrested a 9-year-old. Boy, if only we could have that much diligence, that much response when it comes to, you know, serious crimes like stealing cars or drugs or prostitution, where you arrest a 9-year-old, charge him, then arrest him again for not showing up for stealing a pack of gum, allegedly. Well, how can we top that? It's day two of Jeff Manasso talking cars. Good morning, Jeff.
What do you want? You just want to talk football again, don't you?
You know, I could talk football all day long, but
yeah, more cars. There are some pretty sweet cars that were unveiled yesterday, and trucks. Ram out with their new Revel here in Detroit. The 2015 Ram Rebel. Essentially, it's going to be in direct competition with Ford's Raptor. So this is a Ram 1500 with a new front grill, a new little bit of a wider stance, wider tires, and things like that. That's set to take on the Raptor for the off-roading enthusiasts. Honda out with their FCV, their concept electric concept car. That they say will launch in 2016, a 5-passenger vehicle that'll get up to 300 miles on a charge. So that's some big news for Honda and Hyundai. Do you remember the Subaru Brat?
Yes.
Think being in Boise, you probably had a bunch of those driving around at one point. Hyundai is launching a new concept called the Santa Cruz, and it's kind of the same thing. It's the two-seater with it's Hyundai's version of the El Camino, but this version it looks pretty sweet. 2.0-liter diesel engine on this thing, 190 horse, it looks pretty cool. That was launched yesterday as well.
You know, Jeff, and you know this because you're covering the cars at the preview to the North American Auto Show, but the technology that these folks come up with that.
Yeah.
Four cylinders behave like six cylinders, behave like eight cylinders, and get fuel economy.
Yeah. Well, it's like Ford's EcoBoost motor on their 2.7-liter Ford F-150. Essentially, it's a V6 with, giving that V8 power and towing capacity. And what it means is a better gas mileage and money saving in, back into our pockets. And so, you can buy a big vehicle and you don't have to spend the money that a big 5-liter V8 would soak up in gas costs. Today's four-cylinder really is yesterday's six. And so better fuel economy and faster motors, that's really where the technology is, has made it easier for us as consumers to be able to drive these bigger vehicles. But technology as a whole in these vehicles that we're seeing, it's really incredible. Yesterday we talked about the Mercedes FO18 Luxury in Motion. If the reality is that 15 years down the road, like experts say, the self-driving car is going to mean billions and billions of dollars in the auto industry marketplace, then we're going to be riding along in self-driving cars and this type of technology. And we're already seeing some of it, self-parking vehicles, vehicles that stay within the lines on while you're driving on the highway, and braking technology. Only as that gets better, it's going to pave the way for the fully autonomous vehicle at some point. My only question is driving's fun, and are you gonna have to fight with your car on who drives?
No, I'm with you. I can see the kids 15 years from now going, there goes cheap old man Kevin Miller. He's still driving his car. Won't bust up for the big self-driving things.
Hey, I'm with you. I don't like giving up control when it comes right to driving. And there's going to be a stigma attached to this, at first, because, allowing your car to drive is not something we are used to. It's going to happen at some point, but allowing, your vehicle to take control while you're hanging out in the passenger seat, that's going to be a little weird at first. But they say it's going to happen. So,
hey, Jeff, we have in Idaho, I've lived in several places like you, but I got to say, we have like more per capita, like people driving big trucks, like 250 and 350s than I think any other state. When the car makers design these trucks, and you've been covering these extensively this week, I mean, what do they consider an average ownership for these trucks that, have all the gadgets of the cars but have the big macho factor? I mean, you own them 5 years, 10 years? What do they expect people to stay with them?
I think more and more people are driving their vehicles for 10 years than ever before. I didn't specifically ask that question. I was talking to the heads of Nissan over their brand new Titan, which, by the way, they tout is getting 20% better fuel economy than other trucks in its class. This thing's got a Cummins diesel, turbo diesel. And when I was talking to this exec, he kept saying this is a truck for, the person who's going to drive this truck, he's going to want fuel economy. He's going to want towing capacity. He's going to want the space. And I said, well, what about she? And he's like, And it took him back for a minute, and because I know a lot of women who love driving trucks, and driving these trucks. I mean, and I'll be honest with you. Another thing, Kevin, is these trucks. I think they were some of my favorite things in the auto show. Yeah, you have the Ford GT, you have the BMW i8, you have the brand new Acura NSX, and all these other pretty looking sports cars. But these trucks these days, this day and age, it's not grandpa's truck where it's just a two-seater bench with a push-button AM radio. I mean, these things have everything, and with the crew cabs and all the modern technologies, it makes them pretty sweet.
Jeff Manasso, tough duty you have there this week.
Yeah, somebody's got to do it.
Take care, sir.
All right.
Our great friend Jeff Manasso, Fox News Radio. Remember, Kevin Miller, 580KIDO, your home for Fox News on the radio each and every morning, 6:47. Let's get you to work safe.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO. Idaho's first radio station.
But what exactly was the 9-year-old charged with stealing? Well, that was a pass.
This level, and I wish that, like I said, I wish we would have had some more information so that we could have provided assistance. That's how we try to do business, is to try to provide resources and provide assistance.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. So there you have it. I think this is like one story that didn't make Matt Drudge, but a 9-year-old... We were talking about this yesterday. A 9-year-old arrested for chewing gum, or not chewing gum, stealing gum. But I guess that's why you steal gum, allegedly. But the thing that gets me at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, the Post Falls Police Department, the chief there sits back and says, well, if I would have known more about the story. And you called in yesterday and said, where's the police discretion? So does that mean it does. Look, we love the police. I'm pro-police. But when there's a goof-up, it's up to us not to just sing-songy read the news to you, but give you the other side of the story. And look, we're not yelling about the police here, but now, as my dad would say, and he said this about me many times, and maybe you agree, Kevin, if you had a brain, you'd be dangerous. For those folks that would arrest a 9-year-old, they're lacking brains. And I love how, well, if I would have known more about the story, 9-year-old arrested, handcuffs, really? Why not just haul him in or go knock on the door? I mean, it's just darn right crazy. I remember... What was his name? Troy, I want to say Troy Jackson. Remember the young man that got arrested for saving puppies? Think about that. It's like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. He wanted to, maybe he's still in the area. I hope he is. He was known in the animal rescue community. He launched a couple stores to fund animal rescue. They were going to build a big ranch out here somewhere. And Troy finds out that these animals are being abused, are being left in the cold. He goes out there, gets them. I think it's in Jefferson County, Idaho. And the sheriff there, because the property owner had an issue with it, even though the animals were being neglected, the sheriff issues an arrest warrant. And our friend, I guess now former Chief Masterson, had to execute that arrest warrant. And I remember I knew our days with Chief Masterson, now former Chief Masterson, were not going anywhere when, A, we took the issue of Troy being in his house when at 2 in the morning, according to Troy, Boise police showed up dressed up in the SWAT uniforms and hauled him away for rescuing puppies. And I remember asking the chief about that. He wasn't too happy, the former chief, to answer that question. And I said, do you really need to arrest a guy for rescuing puppies? Do you really need to arrest a 9-year-old for stealing gum? What about the drug dealers on the corner? What about the people that are victims of assault? What about the folks that have to deal with embezzlement or any of these crimes? And the PD in Post Falls says they're going to make changes after this. If I had known more about the story, well, we were going to pull up in the MRAP. Now, again, we adore the police. I think they're great. However, it's overkill to go knock on somebody's door at 2 in the morning, threaten to knock it down because he saved some puppies' lives, just as it's ridiculous to arrest a 9-year-old. Well, I hope they don't have any crime in Post Falls. I hope that there are no drugs on the streets, no violence in the streets. I truly do, because that's a tribute to the police department. But look, you know, where's the brain thing? And if they're going to do this to a 9-year-old, imagine what they do to you. Well, I'm just following orders. Got to have that discretion, right? And coming up, education in the news. School Choice Week is next week. We'll talk about choices in education and what it means for you and your kids. Kevin Miller, good morning.